this morning, we're going to talk about joy. And, you know, listen, we're this day and age, what's going on, it's easy to overlook the fact that you're saved and going to heaven. It's just easy to do that. I mean, we look at how the government has turned its back on its people, how they're recklessly driving us into socialism and Marxism. We see that on a daily basis. We look at what's happening globally. I mean, Russia and Ukraine. Oh, by the way, since I mentioned that, how many of y'all have believed the news media over the last 4 years? I mean, y'all believe. Okay, let me give you a word of advice. What you're hearing about Russia and Ukraine, it's still the same news media. All right. I mean, there's reports and there's people that they've interviewed that live in Ukraine and their government is bombing their own cities. Yeah, it's for op-eds. You know, it looks bad on Russia, which I'm not a fan of Russia. Believe me. Excuse me. But this is just a setup. This is not Gog and Magog. This is the setup for Gog and Magog. And once they take over Ukraine, then we get to start looking at, whoa, man. We still need to pray for those folks. Don't get me wrong. People are still dying. People are still getting hurt. But this is, we're getting really close. Really, really close. So it's comforting to know, regardless of what everything is going on, no matter how bad things are or how bad they get, we have confidence in the promises of the Lord and our salvation. You know, there's one thing we can't lose as born-again believers. We ain't going to lose our salvation. We're not going to lose our place in heaven. We're still going to have a mansion. Everything that's going on in the book of Revelation is going on. We still have the I'm not sure what you call them, the elders falling down before the throne of God saying, holy, holy, holy. That's happening. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. There's things that aren't going to change that we can count on. All right. We're not going to lose our salvation. We are going to heaven. Things are going to work out. However, there's always got to be that but in there, right? There are some things as a Christian that we can lose. For instance, we can lose our testimony. In Genesis 19 and 14, we saw a lot. I mean, when it counted the most, his sons-in-law laughed him to scorn and mocked him. He tried to tell them it's going to burn to the ground, and his testimony was so corrupted, they just laughed in his face. Really? You're going to tell me? You are going to tell me. We can lose our health. And I promise you, the older I get, the more I understand that one. We can lose our rewards as Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I've made this comment before. You know, when we get to the great white throne, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see every reward that God had for us. Every reward that he planned for us to have. I mean, every day you wake up, God has things set in front of you so that when you get to heaven, that reward is going to be sitting right there. Now, it's going to be sitting right there whether we follow through or not. You know, that's what this verse is talking about. All the rewards that he had planned for us to have and rejoice in is going to be there. However, when he lights that holy fire, wood, hay, and stubble, right? So we can lose rewards as Christians. We can lose our millennial inheritance. Colossians 3:24 and 25. I'm not going to get into that. That takes some time for that. We can lose our assurance of salvation. How many times have you run across people that you grew up with that were saved. They used to be soul winners. And now they don't even know they're saved anymore. I mean, 1 Peter talks about that. It's possible you can go back into sin. You can get back into the world and get so deeply entrenched in that lifestyle again, you forgot that God and the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed you of your sins. That is just, it doesn't change the fact that your sins are still forgiven. Remember, we can't lose that, right? Amen. We can lose our life, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. That's when the Lord lists all the things, you know, that happened to the Jews. You know, they refused to go into the promised land. For 40 years he was killing people off. They rejected this, they rejected that. God had to start killing people. That's our ensample. That's better than an example. That's something that, you know, I realize that we have a real disconnect to the Old Testament. And that's, I can understand that to a degree. We're no longer under the law as far as our salvation is concerned. But we tend to think that God has changed from the Old Testament into the New Testament. You know, Jesus Christ paid for our sins, so, you know, God didn't kill people anymore. Yeah, God still kills people. So we can lose our lives as Christians. But here's the thing that I want us to focus on today, and that's this. We can lose our joy. Now look, there's a few things here that I'm going to reiterate. That means I'm going to say over, because in our Sunday school class, he already took half my verses. So, you know, I'm just going to repeat what he said. I'm just going to come at it from a little different angle. Well, look, in Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." There comes a time in every Christian's life, and this is because we're humans, all right? We're going to mess up. But we get to a place in our life where our joy is just not evident in our life. We don't have it, and nobody sees it. Now, there's one thing about joy. When I say losing joy, you can't lose joy. You'd have to lose the Holy Spirit. You know, that's one of the fruits. Our fruit. Joy is part of what we experience and what comes through us as we allow the Holy Spirit to take control. As we allow Him to control us and guide us, that's just one of the things. That's just a natural byproduct, is joy. But things happen in our life. Life gets in the way. Life's not fun a lot of times. It's just not. Life is work. And when you're lazy, work's just not fun. I'll be honest with you. I like working in the sense that I like being productive. You know, I know that it's good for me and I know it's right. But outside of that, not so much. You know, I'll be glad when I'm in heaven, I'm perfect, and I won't have to worry about work, because I'll be perfect. You know, it's like when I teach that, every now and then I teach really interesting things. In my class, they think I'm crazy. But you know, when I teach that there's no women in heaven, and the girls are just like, what do you mean there's no women in heaven? Well, babe, I just said, look, you're going to be perfect, so it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. We'll be perfect in heaven, so you won't care. It'll be all right. All right, so one of the things, I'm going to have to get y'all back now. The ladies are all looking at me like, what did he just say? I can't believe he just said that. One of the things that causes us to lose our joy is short-sightedness. If you'll turn, please, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. Luke 6, and look at verse 22. It says, "Blessed are ye, or blessed, when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast you out, or cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." He said, blessed. It goes on to say, "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for..." There you go. "For behold, your reward is great in heaven." You see, that short-sightedness is we don't look past the tribulation, the trials we're going through. We don't look past people responding negatively. I don't know how, I think that's culturally correct, right? I mean, when people hate your guts because you're a Christian, you take a stand. And they call you names and they separate you out. Has that ever happened to y'all? I mean, come on. If it hasn't happened to y'all, y'all need to get out more. You know, you need to get some tracks in your pocket and go make some enemies. Well, I'm going to tell you, man, the best thing to keep you on your toes is a good enemy. Somebody who's going to watch you and point fingers at you. I'm telling you, they'll keep you on your toes. Now, I'm not saying you go out there and slap somebody in the face. I'm telling you that you just do right and you're going to make some enemies. And they're going to talk bad about you and they're going to separate you. We had a missionary family who was in our church. They came and stayed a few months with us. And their oldest son was trying to make friends with some of the teenage boys in our church. And, you know, teenagers, cliques. You know, you're not part of this crowd. It's just, you know. Well, he was trying. And these two boys, I'll just be honest with you, they need the hell preached out of them. That's just that simple. And I grabbed him. And I called, you know, he was trying to chase him around. I said, "Look, man, they're not worth it. Love those guys. Want to be a blessing to those guys. Want to help those guys. But they're not worth it." They separated him. Because of his stand for the Lord. In church. Can you believe that? In church. Now, I know you can believe that because it happens everywhere. And it's sad that it happens, but it happens. We're short-sighted and we allow that to affect us. We allow that kind of treatment to push us down and make us feel sorry for ourselves, to make us, look, they killed the Lord Jesus. They crucified him. They stuck him on a cross and tortured the guy. And somebody says something bad to us and they turn their back on us and they won't invite us to their parties and we want to give up. We want that.
Come on, brother.
Please. Are they even worth losing our joy over? Now we just need to suck it up, man. Be a man. Strengthen the inner man, ladies. Strengthen the inner man. These trials are going to happen. And they're going to happen for several reasons. But I guarantee you this, every trial and tribulation you go through is another sharpening exercise. It's another opportunity to receive those rewards when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. It's another opportunity for us to be strengthened in our beliefs and our walk with the Lord. You know, no trial or tribulation is fun. Now, I don't know this from experience. I live with my wife through this thing, and I think most of the ladies in here can attest to this. But, you know, when you get pregnant, Everybody's excited. Right? Yeah, we're going to have a baby. And then about 6 months in, you know, you're breathing a little heavier, ladies, right? You know, you're starting to get bigger. Your clothes don't fit. Your hormones are starting to really go nuts. Come on, guys. Right? And so things are a little upside down. And by the ninth month, it's like, get it out of me! Get it out! Yeah, we go from, wow, yes, let's have a party. We're going to have the cake and we're going to open the cake. Is it blue? Is it pink? You know, my dad, he was an OBGYN. And, he delivered babies when they did that midnight stuff. I mean, what's it called? That stuff that kind of puts you to sleep but doesn't put you to sleep. Twilight. And he says some of the things that these ladies would say, you know, it's like, I hate you. It's your fault. You know, while the husband's patting the face, you know, dry from the sweat, you know, it's okay, baby. Don't baby me. But when the baby's done, when that little person pops out, you know, and the pain's over, and all of a sudden, it's this is the greatest thing ever. You know, that's when the dad comes to realization. Whoa. It's real. And mama's like, give me that baby. So that's kind of how things are in reality. You know, we go through the trials, we go through the tribulations. We don't look at it from the viewpoint that this is going to help me. This is going to make me grow. When Peter got beat, thrown in jail and then released, they counted it joy that they were able to suffer for the Lord Jesus. Now, I know as Americans, that's just not something that's not a concept we really vote for. Because we've had it really good, man. The Lord has blessed us. And I'm not complaining about that. I'm enjoying the blessings. But that's all fixing to change. It's all fixing to change. But it doesn't have to affect your joy. As long as you understand, look, all this stuff is just a precursor. The baby's going to get born. There's an end. And this is all for my good, right? That's what I'm saying, man. I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to preach? Look, in Acts 13, verse 50 through 52, it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, expelled them out of their coast, kicked them out of town, ran them off on a rail. But they shook off the dust of their feet against it and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy. They just got rejected by a whole town. I mean, the whole town said, get out. So one of the things that keeps us from exhibiting joy of the Holy Ghost in our life is the fact that we're just too short-sighted. We're just too short-sighted. The second thing is, and I'm looking at that clock go fast, man. That clock's fast. It's a lack of the word. Turn to John chapter 15, please. John 15. And look in verse 10. It says, if you keep my commandments, Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He says, look, keep my commandments. Just do the things that I've told you to do. You know, it's the two commandments we talked about last time I was here. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two great commandments, right?
Yeah.
Well, we can't keep two. I know. Those are a little deeper than what they just sound like on the surface. But look, here's the thing. He says, if you stay with the word, stay with the things that I've said. How do you know what he says? Well, you got to look it up. You got to read what he says. When you're out of the word of God, you don't know what he said. Well, I've been in church all my life. Oh, really? Quote me the Ten Commandments. Basic. I don't think anybody here can do it. If that's the case, oh no, somebody can do it. No, don't do it. No, I'm sorry. So maybe one or two people can do it. But the thing, the point is that the more you stay out of the Bible, the less joy you will have. The more you stay in the Bible, the more you understand the love of God for you. And the more you can appreciate that love. And the more your love grows in Him. And as that love grows, the joy shows up. Look, if you want to get, if you want your joy back, get back in the Bible. Madam Guyon, I know she's one of those, but she was pretty smart. And she didn't mind going to prison for her belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But she has a thing about praying through the Bible. I don't know if you've ever heard of that concept. Basically, it's you're not trying to read 10 chapters a day. You're just trying to connect with God. How do you like that? Connect. See, I'm hip. If God wrote the Bible, and He did, and Holy Spirit is part of that authorship, which He was, when you're reading the Bible, you're actually allowing God to communicate with you.
Yes. Come on.
Now look, I'm all in hearing that still small voice. I'm all for, you know, getting that direction. Look, man, when I got saved, there's nobody's talking me out of that. I know I got saved. When God called me to preach, I know I got called to preach. I've had several preachers say, you're not called to preach. You know, I don't care what they said. I know what God told me. You know, and I saw it in the Bible. He pointed out a verse and said, there you are. It's like, okay. If you want to communicate with God, you got to get in His Word and let Him talk to you. Now, praying through the Bible is pretty simple. As you read and God puts somebody in your heart, stop reading and pray it through. How many times have you read your Bible and you're reading and the Lord's trying to get your, He's trying to butt in. Oh, no, no, I got to get my 10 chapters. No, wait, just wait. Let me finish this chapter. When you're reading the Word of God, it's a spiritual book. God can pull something out of half a verse that you'll spend all day thinking about if you'll just let Him show you. If you'll let Him speak to you. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at everybody and you're like, I don't know if everybody's ready to start running or, oh man, we're going to have to fix that clock, man. Anyway, Here's the last point of two points left. Lack of soul winning. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 says this. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul, part of Paul's joy was the fact that he had converts. He had converts that he actually reached, was in church, were growing. If you want your joy back, get some tracts. Start passing out some tracts. Have a conversation with somebody. Oh, but that's just not my personality. You think that's going to fly when you meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really think that's going to fly? You might be able to pull that off with me. Well, no, you won't pull that off with me. But you might pull that off. No, you won't pull it off with your grandmother either. You might pull that off on some gullible person that thinks that you're, you know, oh, bless your heart. Shut up. Get a track. Go hand some out. Look, I'll pass out tracks. And I'm just like anybody else. That first track. Okay. You can do this. I'm just like everybody else. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to be spit on. Have you been yelled at? Have you been spit on? Did you survive? I've had guys pull knives on me. I've had guys pull guns on me. Nobody cut me. Nobody shot me yet. And I was passing out track. Where was I? I was in Ocala, Florida. I was walking around. There's two guys standing over there, and the Lord's kind of dealt with me about some things. If there's a biker or a thug or somebody who's really nasty looking and mean looking, I got to give them a track. Because I don't know anybody else who's going to give them a track. Oh, no. I remember I walked right in the middle of a group of bikers, man. I mean, and the guys I were with at Bible College. So where are you going? I said, those bikers, I'm going to go give them a track. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? I said, yeah. I am, actually. So I walked right in the middle of them, and I started passing out tracts. You know, those guys get scared when you start pulling out the Bible and start handing out tracts. Oh, they're big and bad till you start talking about the Lord. Yeah. Whoa, whoa. You know, look, I got other things to do. It's surprising. But these two guys, they were standing there, and they were, I don't know what they were doing. So I walked up. I said, hey, guys. Let me give this to you. It'll tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. One guy says, you better get away from me. Well, you know, I've never claimed to be the sharpest blade in a drawer. Never claimed. So I looked at him and said, what, are you kidding me? I'm offering you heaven. He says, I'm going to cut you. So he pulls out his switchblade. I looked at his buddy. I said, can you get this guy? I'm offering him heaven for free. And he didn't want it. Well, he says, man, you are a crazy white man. He said, get out of here. I said, well, I'll get out of here if you'll take this track. He said, get out of here, man. He took the track. I left. I didn't get cut. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, I was street preaching and this one guy pulls by and he rolls down his window. And he says, I'm going to come back around. And if you're still here, I'm going to shoot you. And he holds up his gun. Yeah, man. And I was and look. Just. I said, really, you're going to threaten me with heaven?
That's right.
Now, I don't know where that came from, but after I said it and he pulled off, I'm thinking, man, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to say, but it's done now. So he pulls around the block and he stops at the corner and I'm still preaching. And he sits there and watches me and watches me, and he's flashing that gun, and he's watching me, and he honks his horn, and he's flashing that gun, and I just keep preaching. He drives off. My whole point is this. It's rare you're going to run into those kind of situations. I mean, when you walk up to a lady at the cash register, the worst thing she's going to do is say, I don't want it. How bad does that hurt? Oh. Really? Really? I don't want it. I quit. Sure, and never have your joy. Never reclaim your joy. Go out, give out a couple of tracts. Hey, man, the best thing about giving out tracts, and I'm not kidding, the best thing about giving out tracts, especially if you're knocking on doors, you knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I'm Mike Lovell, I'm from Central Baptist Church. I want to give this thing to you. Invite you to our church. Slam! Oh, yeah! I just stick the track on the door and leave. Yeah, amen. I'm not going to miss that opportunity. I don't want him to die just because he's an idiot.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Look, I was an idiot before I got saved. I was an idiot. Ooh. Anyway, those are the things that keep us from experiencing joy. That's what keeps us from being filled with joy. You know, do something. Be active. Now, I was listening to some preaching this week about Caleb. Guy was 80-something years old. His attitude was, give me that mountain. Send me where the giants live. And they gave it to him, and he took it. 80 years old. You mean to tell me you can't muster up the courage to hand somebody a tract that may give them eternal life? You gotta stop thinking about your feelings. You gotta stop thinking about, oh me, oh my. Forget that stuff. These people are actually going to die, and they're actually gonna burn forever in a lake of fire. Forever! You mean to tell me that you're more important than that? Your feelings are more important than that? It's not surprising the church today has no joy. It's not surprising we're not doing anything. Look, we're praying for a pastor, amen? We want a man to come in here and lead this congregation, but you've got to do your part. What, it's going to magically change when the man shows up here and stands behind his pulpit? All of a sudden, hey, yeah, I'm going to be a super Christian. No, it doesn't turn on and off like that. Go to work. Get your joy back. Enjoy being in here. Man, you can tell when people have their joy. They stand around and visit. Oh, church is over. Boom. You know, hurry up. The line's going to be long. You know, it's like we don't like each other. I mean, we just tolerate each other. Is that it? I mean, look, I understand. Because there was plenty of times where I just didn't like anybody in my church. I just didn't like them. And I didn't want to be around them. And I didn't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me alone. Man, when the prayer, he was praying at the end of the invitation, I was gone. Brother Mike. Yeah. But that's not, you know, that happens. We go through those times. It's just, we're flesh, right? We're flesh. You mean to tell me you've loved everybody in this church forever and ever and ever, and you just couldn't wait to be here all the time? Come on. We can be honest with ourselves. Can't we be honest with ourselves? Okay. So we know what's wrong. We know what's wrong. So let's fix it. It's an easy fix. Just start reading. Start listening to the Lord. Go out and pass out a tract, man. Get somebody saved. Boy, you want to talk about get people excited in the church and you being excited? Oh, is he? I mean, I would hope that everybody in this room has led somebody to the Lord. I would hope. If you haven't, you're missing out. You're definitely missing out. Because it's just great. It's just great. I mean, you look in their eyes and they're happy. And they're like, oh. Look, when I got saved, I'm telling you, man, 13 million tons fell off my back. I probably mentioned this before, but I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was by myself in the living room. The Lord was showing me himself in the book. I was reading John. I got to the third chapter. Boom! I want that! Does that sound like a fundamental independent Baptist prayer? I want that! And the Lord said, okay, you can have it. And I didn't know what to do at that point. I just got up. I walked around the room. I ran around the room. I cried. I laughed. I shouted. I looked out the window. I was like, what a beautiful day. You're missing out on that experience leading somebody to the Lord. I mean, when you got saved, I know this has probably happened. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. Thank you. Right? Did that happen to you? Or were you a little bit excited? Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't believe you're going to save me from my... Thanks! Yeah. And inside, you just wanted to do it. You wanted to do it. Inside, you were that little Pentecostal person, man. The last thing, and I just mentioned this in passing, which is really kind of the most important thing, is you're not going to have any joy if you ain't saved. You know, without salvation, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That means you don't have that fruit. So if you're not saved, fix it. I mean, nobody in here is going to throw rocks at you. Nobody in this room is. Nobody's going to make fun and say, oh, she's not saved. Did you see who went down front? So my wife got saved, what, how long, how many years? 2012. She got saved because Jack, last name. Thank you. Yeah. My birthday's coming up. I'm going to be 69, so it's okay for me to have those little moments. Jack Kemp got up and said, you know what? I've been playing this role for a long time. I need to get saved. And he got saved. And that encouraged my wife because she said, you know, I've been playing this role long enough too. She got saved. We had a couple more people get saved in the church. Because somebody stood up and said, you know what? I'm tired of playing the game. Joy, it's yours. If you're saved, you've got it. It's there. It's just getting blocked. So break the dam. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. It's just telling the flesh, shut up. If you're not saved, come on. Why not? Why aren't you? I mean, you've been in this church long enough, you know what it's all about. Or at least you've seen it. Do something about it. Let's bow our heads, please. Stand.